Hello and welcome to the County Conversation, a podcast featuring employees and subject matter experts in the Fairfax County government discussing programs, services, and items of interest to residents of Fairfax County. I'm your host, Jim Person, and today on this edition of Conversation, I'm chatting with Michael Felchow, Transit Services Division Planning Section Chief in the county's Department of Transportation. Michael is here today to talk with us about the Centerville-Chantilly-Vienna-Tysons area bus service changes. Whew, that's a mouthful. Yes. Often simply referred to as CCVT, not to be confused with CCTV, which is also a major change in Fairfax County's routes. And so we're going to be hearing all about that. First, Michael, thanks for being on the podcast with us today.
Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely glad to have you here. CCVT, said it was a mouthful, Centerville-Chantilly-Vienna Transportation.
No, that's
Centerville-Chantilly-Vienna-Tysons. I'm sorry, Transportation. Mixed up my lines. I skipped from one line to the next. What does all that mean? I mean, it started June 22nd, from my understanding.
Yeah.
Briefly, give me the overview. What are we
The overview about? Is basically we have about 20 or so routes that we looked at as part of a larger plan to look at the entire county. And really broke the entire county up in basically like three pieces. And this is just one of those three pieces. We already did a previous piece as part of the Silver Line Phase 2 implementation.
Okay.
So we changed a lot of the routes up in the Reston Herndon area. So as part of the I-66 express lanes and new facility at the Monument Park and Ride Lot facility, we took the opportunity to see how we can maximize our resources and improve connectivity throughout the corridor, linking everything from Chantilly-Centerville through Vienna to Tysons.
Okay. So this is part of a three-prong or three-piece major kind of development project?
It's part of our transit strategic plan, which the board approved last December.
Okay. I was reading a little bit on the webpage. It's not only new routes, but it's also combining routes for service improvements as well as discontinuing some routes. Is that correct?
That is correct. I like to use the word merge instead of discontinue because discontinue gives the idea that we're not going to serve that area anymore. And what we've done is we've taken a lot of routes and merged them together. We had situations where we had a set of routes that would operate during peak hour, AM and PM during the rush hour, and then a whole other set of routes that were operated during the midday and in the on the weekends. So in order to make it easy for residents to get around the community, we just made the same route all day and weekends. Okay. So we merged routes together.
Okay. Yeah. Very, very simplified. It does sound like that. Right. Yeah.
That's what we're trying to do.
Yeah. So Monument Drive commuter parking garage, big piece of this overall process. It couldn't have happened without it, I'm assuming?
Yes and no, but mainly we took the opportunity to turn that into a linchpin within the entire system, allowing before that, the routes, you had to go all the way to Vienna to really transfer. So if you're way out in Chantilly and Centerville, it was difficult to get anywhere around that portion of the community or even up to Herndon or Reston or further south to Franconia. So we took the opportunity, because we had eight bus bays that are going to be built there, to say, well, let's make a transfer point and let's link it to the rest of the community. So that's what we did.
So the Monument Garage was built, and I'm sure it's not just a matter of like overnight going, oh, okay, let's do this. How long did this process take?
About 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. 2 years, multiple public meetings. We had multiple surveys that we did. So there was about, and we also did modeling analysis, population analysis, origin and destination analysis. We worked on this for 2 years in order to get it right. And there's going to be additional tweaks that we have to do. As you probably read on the website, there's multiple phases to this. There's phase one and phase two. Phase one went in last month. Phase two will be hopefully done by the end of the year. And then there's going to be obviously some adjustments that we'll have to make as we tweak the system. We'd like to use the word tweak. Tweak the system to adjust travel times and make some modifications. We're always doing that anyway, so that will be just part of it. And we'll, as we hear back from the citizens and users, we have to take that into account and see how we can modify things.
Sure.
So when this idea came up, and you mentioned 2 years worth of planning, studying, community engagement, I mean, where did the idea come from? Was it from the board? Was it from staff? From the writers? I mean,
a little bit of both from the writers. We did an onboard survey about 5 years ago, and we looked at the data, and a lot of people were telling us that they wanted faster service. They wanted to go further. They wanted more places to go.
They wouldn't.
And yeah, I mean, just like anyone who wanted to drive a car, they wanted to get around. So we looked at our system and said, let's see how we can make it better. How can we increase those points of accessibility and connection? Now with this new system, we're able to connect to, if you're staying at Monument at that facility, you can connect to 60% of our routes throughout the county and WMATA routes too. And we can still get you to Vienna. And we can still get you to Tyson. We can get you to the Pentagon. We can get you to Reston. And in December, we're going to have a direct connection to Franconia.
Wow.
So with one transfer from that point, you'll be able to get all the way down to the fort.
Goodness.
Yeah. For $2.
Wow.
Yeah.
I probably spend way more in gas getting down there.
Yeah.
Walk me through a little bit about this two-year process.
Okay. We started with the onboard survey.
Right.
Right. And we started with public meetings to gather information. We took all that information along with all the information we gathered from our own system. Our buses, I call them smart buses. They actually know where they are on planet Earth.
Wow.
They can count people getting off and on and where they can they're getting off and on. We can't connect the dots of where person get on and where they got off. But we know where they got on, where the people are getting off, and what time of day. So we took all that information and we ran it through all kinds of demographic analysis.
Okay. Before you get to the demographic analysis, what did you hear from the writers in these?
Well, as I said a moment ago, they said they wanted it fast, frequent, further.
Okay.
So that's really what they wanted from us.
Okay.
So it wasn't just one or two places they wanted to go. They wanted to go everywhere everybody else wants to go.
So were they singling out specific places? I mean, how granular did the feedback from the writers come from?
It was very granular. We had hundreds and hundreds of comments.
Wow.
As part of the transit strategic plan itself, we had over 13,000 comments, which we read. And we try to accommodate each one, but it's challenging to do that with limited resources.
Sure.
So that's what we were getting from the public.
Okay.
And then we went through multiple iterations. We went through two or three alternatives that we put up and we sent out to the public, and they basically voted on that.
Mm.
And then we scored them based on all the, we call it transit propensity, which is basically taking a look at different demographic information and travel patterns and then scoring different parts of the community, our U.S. Census block groups. And then taking that information and saying, where can we put the routes that maximizes connectivity, mobility, and usage?
So you've got all this data, and I know I interrupted you as you were going to flow here. So you've got all this data, demographics. Where does it go from there? Is it just a simple matter of, well, we've got these eight routes and we need to merge them, or we need to create new ones?
I mean, it's a very complicated scoring mechanism that went into along with public input.
Mm-hmm.
So we had the three sets of alternatives. We sent that out to the public. They actually voted on it by saying, I like this, I don't like this, and gave us preferences. And then we scored everything, and we did it by these three alternative sets. And each alternative had over 20 routes in it.
Mm-hmm.
So we were analyzing basically somewhere around 60 to 70 route alternatives. And then we took all the best of those and we merged them into the preferred plan.
Okay. So if you were voting on one set of routes versus another set of routes, or is it, I like this piece of this one and this piece of that one?
Both. It was both of that.
That's complicated.
It was really what we asked people is, what do you like in this alternative? What do you like in the next one? And what do you like in the next one?
Okay.
And then they told us what they like in each one of them. They told us what they didn't like in each one of those.
Okay.
And then we took that all into
combined it.
And digested it. And that's why it took us 2 years
to digest
all the information.
Absolutely.
And then we brought out the preferred plan to the public about a year ago. and because we were trying to get it lined up with the new facility along with the express lanes. So the first piece of that plan actually went in last February, which was the Route 660, that it was implemented prior to the rest of the service plan as a demonstration of what we could do as part of the express lanes being opened up.
Gotcha. Okay.
But the facility wasn't opened yet.
Okay.
So.
Wow. Complicated procedure. My mind is hurting just right now. Just
I won't even tell you about the modeling then.
Oh, okay.
So that's all another.
Well, maybe we'll get to that in a minute. We'll see how it goes. We're talking with Michael Felchow. He is Transit Services Division Planning Section Chief in the County's Department of Transportation. We're talking about the Centerville-Chantilly-Vienna-Tysons area bus service changes, which is, I must admit, going into this, I was thinking it would probably be a simple conversation, but it's turned into much more complicated conversation, as I'm sure you already were aware, Michael, trying to figure out how to, you're going to explain this simply in a 20-minute podcast.
Yeah, it's always a challenge.
Yeah.
It's always a challenge. But we do this as part of our public meetings. We try to communicate these kinds of things. And I like to really focus it in on, this is not my system. This is your system. And we're here to build and develop something that you can use, not only for the people who don't have a choice of mode of transportation, but also people who maybe have only one car, or we want to reduce congestion, things of that sort. There's a lot of reasons why people take transit, and we want to make sure that's available for them.
Now, I know we're early on. We're talking here in early to mid-July. These service changes went into effect just last month, June 22nd, so it's early. It's only a few weeks. Has there been any initial feedback? I mean, what are you hearing so far?
What we're hearing so far is people want a little more timing, so we're going to go through and make some adjustments in terms of the scheduling on some of the routes. We get 20 different routes. The majority of those routes are perfectly fine. Everything's okay, but we're going to have to tweak a few routes for timing. Ridership preliminarily is stable or increasing.
That's good.
So that's good. We were able to, in the, for example, Tysons area, there was one of our key routes, which is Route 463. Years ago, we had to back it down to 30-minute service because of congestion along Highway 123. And our goal was to get it back to 20-minute service. So we were able to achieve that. Mm-hmm. So during peak hours, it's back to 20-minute service, where it should be, because we have that demand. And it travels from Vienna Metro Rail Station up Highway 123 to Tysons, which is a major employment center on top of a major, it's got two malls sitting there.
Right.
And it's got two malls, major employment centers, and a lot of people live there. So it's a live, work, play area.
Right.
So we wanted to make sure we do that too. Yeah. It's not just I-66 corridors, but all the Tysons routes are doing very, very well. A lot of the routes out in the western part of the county, they're doing well, but we're going to have to probably go back and tweak some of the timing on those.
So tweaking, constant modifications, improvements, et cetera. And then in December, you mentioned something happening in December.
Yeah, there's going to be two new routes that come on board, hopefully in December. If everything works out right. And those are going to be highly anticipated Route 610 that will operate from Centerville along Highway 29 to Stringfellow parking lot, and then to the Monument parking lot, and then to GMU.
Oh, wow.
That's a new connection that has not existed for our transit system. Prior to that, you had to go all the way to Vienna and then take another service back to GMU. So, and then the other piece of the improvement will be Route 670. Mm. And that will be a companion route to what's already out there, the 671, which operates along US 50 down to Monument. Both of the routes will go to Vienna. One route will continue on to the hospital as it does today, the 671. And then the 670 will go down to Franconia.
Hmm.
And that's where I said earlier, you'll be able to go from Monument to the Fort with one transfer. because we don't have that connection today. Right. And right now, it would take something like 2 buses and 2 trains to get there.
Wow.
So we're trying to knit the county together, make it one transit system,
right,
and not these little piece, these major pieces all over the place.
Right.
So we're hoping that that helps us get to those connections that people want.
Well, I mean, you know, it, no small feat. I mean, the county is a little over 400 square miles, so.
And 1.1 million people, yeah, right, so, about.
Kind of an easy job, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's easy. It's what we do all day long. I sit there and stare at the map on the wall and, oh, how do I fix this?
Yeah.
How do I fix that? And so we're always listening to the public, and we're always trying to wonder, how do we move the bar a little closer to people? How do we improve that connectivity and mobility and access and reliability? Those are the key 4 or 5 terms that we as transit planners like to use.
So how do you, as a transit planner, how do you accomplish that?
It's by all that demographic information, ridership information, public input, and then we have to balance. And the balancing act is, where do we put the service? Where's the most important places, and where do we have to connect to? Routes that serve one neighborhood to one employment center typically don't do as well as routes that connect many pieces of the community together with many activity centers. I was telling another employee yesterday, another staff member, think of a mall.
Mm-hmm.
And not the old-time malls.
Right.
You got
right.
the anchor on one end and another anchor store on the
right,
other end,
right.
an anchor in the middle.
Yep.
That's how you want to build your routes. You want to build them so you have something on one end and something on the other end and something in the middle that people want to go to.
Right.
So that way, the route is utilized by more than just one type of trip, more than just work trips. You want to have shopping trips in there, medical trips in there, going to restaurants, shopping, school. You want all the trips in there. And that's what we're trying to do. And by building the monument facility where we built it and utilizing it the way we are, we allow people to make the choices where they want to go,
mm-hmm.
not where I think they should go.
Right.
They're able to go from that facility. They can go east, west, north, south. And that is how you build a transit system. So everybody has a choice to where they want to go and when.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. So where are people wanting to go?
They want to go everywhere.
Right. Well,
I mean, the easiest way, I heard this in a conference years and years ago. The moderator of the conference says, you want to know where people in transit want to go? Find the congestion.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where everybody else wants to go.
Right.
So people who are using transit want to go to the exact same place everybody else wants to go.
They just don't want to be in that congestion.
Yeah. They just don't want to be in that congestion. So we build our system designed to where people want to go. And they want to go to the same places everybody else wants to go. Major employment centers, activity centers, schools. Those are hospitals. And people of different ages want to go different places.
Right.
So therefore, we have to constantly think about every level of demographic characteristic and mm-hmm. travel patterns. So we're always looking at our what we call boardings and alignings,
mm-hmm.
where people are boarding the bus and where they're getting off the bus. And by time of day, by looking at that information and having public meetings, we can, it's almost like a vote. They're voting
right, right.
where they want to go and when they want to go. And then we adjust the system based on that information and based on what they're telling us.
So if someone wanted to ride the bus right now, is there, I know it's probably route dependent, but is there a average time I'm going to have to spend for my ride to get from point A to point B?
That all depends on the trip.
Yeah,
that's what that all depends on the trip. Some trips are shorter, some trips are longer. It depends on if it's an express route or a local route or one of these new routes, what we call cross-county connector routes, mm-hmm. the 660, the 670, and the 671, where they literally connect Monument to Vienna to Tyson's or Monument Vienna to Franconia. That's all new. That's a new kind of thing. And we're using the express lanes that VDOT built.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, they only cost $2
right.
for these routes. So they're not your typical express route going into DC. There will be stops. So what we've done is with these routes, we've extended the Orange Line to Centerville
mm-hmm.
and Chantilly. because we have such high level of frequency, how often the buses are coming by. And the peak hour out of Monument, facility between Monument and Vienna, we're going to have, by the time we get the phase two in, somewhere between 5 and 7 minute frequencies.
Wow.
So when you get to the either Vienna or the Monument, there's just constant flow of vehicles.
Going to be a bus waiting for you.
Yeah. And you, that way you can choose when you want to go and where you want to go. And that's how I look at it.
So pre-conversation we had, you mentioned like there were three pieces of the county service areas and that the Silver Line was like part one. This is part two. So what's part three?
Franconia.
Okay.
And the Huntington area.
Okay.
So you got the Huntington station, Metro Rail station, and you got the Franconia station. There's a 13, 14 routes. Maybe a little bit more than that.
Right.
I can't remember all the numbers. There's over 90 routes on the system.
Okay.
So they have all the routes down there. I'm going to be making adjustments to those. We're hoping to start that next year.
2025.
We're hoping to change that next year. It won't be as dramatic as what we're seeing with the CCBT plan.
Okay.
It's more like what we did with Reston and Herndon, where we're modifying and moving levels of service around, not so much the routes themselves. And we've already connected Franconia to CCBT with Route 670. And we're going to be doing a service change in the next few months that hopefully will connect, improve the connection between Franconia and the new Springfield parking lot and lot garage to Tyson's on a 15-minute frequency. Which we don't have today.
Right.
So we're going to be making some more connections. And of course, the fourth item in all of this is what WMATA is doing with their better bus network. So we're working closely with them to see how, make sure our two networks work together.
Okay.
As it is, they take up nearly 30% of the service on buses within our own county.
Wow.
So, and the county is part of the whole compact. So we're looking at ways to make sure our routes, we don't create any gaps in services.
Gotcha.
And those important linkages are always there for people. So we're working closely with them on that. So basically, there's four pieces.
Okay. All right. So where can folks keep up with what's going on or learn more about CCVT and other things going on?
Well, you can go to the county's website, the Connector website. Just type in Connector, Fairfax Connector. You'll get a website, click on there, and all the information that you need is right on there, along with contact information, our next service routes, service changes, our schedules, all our particular plans that are going on, our transit strategic plan that covers a 10-year time frame, which the board just approved last December. It's all on there.
Michael, thanks for being on the podcast. Always trying to give the guest the last word. Final thoughts about Centerville, Chantilly, Vienna, Tyson's area bus service changes, Fairfax Connector in general, or why folks should ride transit? Just final thoughts from you.
Well, I'm going to go with why people should ride transit.
Okay.
And that's really, the focus is to improve air quality, improve quality of life for everyone. We don't need everybody on the bus. Just a few people, more people can get on the bus. And if we do that, we can reduce congestion and improve air quality. And that's a livability for all of us.
Awesome. Couldn't have said it better myself. Michael, thanks for being here. And thanks to listeners for being here as well. If you want to get more Fairfax County news, just go to fairfaxcounty.gov/news. Or you can call 703-FAIRFAX. That's 703-324-7329. That is weekdays between 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. County Conversation is produced by the Fairfax County, Virginia government.